Hello, welcome to another episode of Papa Bear Hikes.
Today I want to welcome to the Papa Bear Hikes podcast, Dr. Morgan Rosnahan, also known as Blaze. Blaze, welcome to Papa Bear Hikes.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So Blaze, you're a hiker yourself. You've done some through hikes. Why don't you tell us, instead of me just reading from your bio, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, so, well, I graduated physical therapy school in 2017, and then that's when I finally had time to do some more substantial hikes because I didn't have to go to school all the time. And I started with the Long Trail in the fall of 2018, which was a very wet and pretty but rewarding hike. And then that was kind of my shakedown preparation hike to do the PCT. I figured if I still liked through hiking after that trail literally beating me up, then there's a good chance I would enjoy the PCT. So in 2019, I hiked the whole PCT. I ended up doing a flip-flop hike because it was a huge, huge snow year. And coming from the East Coast in Maryland, I'm well-versed in what it looks like to spend time in the snow. And I had zero interest in hiking through the Sierras like that. So we went to Kennedy Meadows South and then up to the Northern Terminus and then hiked back to Kennedy Meadows South.
Yeah, if you can hike the Long Trail and still enjoy backpacking, you can definitely consider yourself a backpacker. That's for sure.
Yeah, I fell more times on the Long Trail than the PCT by like 300 times more.
Now, coincidentally, Blaze, you and I were in Vermont the same year, not at the same time. You were out there later than I was. But what an experience, right? What a great trail to hike.
It is. Yeah. And if it teaches you one thing, it's you got to just love actual hiking, because if you're doing it for the views, there's a good chance they're going to be socked in when you get up there.
Yeah, you will spend several hours walking through a green tunnel. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it'll feel like all day you're doing that. Now, Blaze, you have your business, which is looking for guests that do exciting things and different things in the hiking community. Tell us about your business.
So whenever I finished PT school, I moved into a van shortly after, and then that allowed me the flexibility to do travel contracts for physical therapy and to take the time off in the interim to do these big hikes. And then whenever I was on the PCT, I didn't just lead with when I would meet other hikers and be like, hi, I'm Morgan, I'm a physical therapist. It's just, you know, people didn't really talk about what their professions were, which was great because everyone was pretty injured. I noticed that early on. And so I didn't want to end up with like a line of 100 hikers telling me about all of their injuries while I was trying to also just hike and be off work and enjoy the hike. But I did take note of it, and I started to pay attention to some of the struggles people had in terms of, you know, they would get injured in a town with little resources. They'd go see the only, you know, provider in town, whether it's a doctor or whatever was there. And then a lot of times they were getting poor information. So they were getting like, oh, well, just stop hiking. And it's like, well, that's not an answer, you know, that doesn't help. And then, you know, they'd end up in boots that they didn't need to wear, or just not helpful advice to meet their real goal. Cause this is a dream trip. You know, you don't want to throw in the towel unless you absolutely have to. So I got a few of those scenarios where I was in town at the same time as some of those people, and I'd be like, well, what about this? You know, and I'd kind of like pull them to the side and be like, you know, I'm a PT, let me see what we can do. And I would help them out. And then I, towards the end of my hike, ran into some of these people that I helped at like mile 500, and now they were doing great. And we were so excited to run into each other again, as you are with any hiker that you meet. It just, you could meet somebody for the second time, and it feels like this old friend, even though you maybe just ate lunch with them. And so if I ran into these people that I was able to help, and then they told me that, you know, that really helped, that's why I'm still here, that just set off all the light bulbs for me. And I was like, wow, I want to do this. And I need to figure out how to help more people like this, because this trip meant so much to me. And it's just such a just such a trip of a lifetime. If I can keep people on the trail, how cool, like what a way to pay it forward for all the people that helped me stay on trail in various ways. So after I got off trail, I was thinking more along the lines of, well, how can I reach people in these remote spaces? Maybe I'll try to do telehealth. And so I started looking into everything about telehealth, and then the pandemic started, and overnight, every existing PT platform all of a sudden did telehealth. Like there was nobody, and then there was everybody. So that was very disheartening. And I was like, wow, the market's saturated. If they want a telehealth provider, they can find them. It won't be any big deal. That's not what's going to work. And so I kind of let it go, but it was still nagging at me that there was something I was missing. And so I went to Arizona to kind of ride out the pandemic. And I was working at a senior living that I really enjoyed because I just really like those type of communities. And during that time there, I started to really start spitballing these ideas. And I was like, well, what if I just went all in? You know, what if I'm there? What if I follow the trail in my van, like I was doing travel therapy? I just move with the bubble, and then I can do telehealth if they're in different spots, but I can be right in it and help them in person. And then once I got that idea, I got my website running. I started working with other thru-hikers. So I got her name's Sarah or Vice on trail. She's the darling dirtbag on Instagram. So she's a friend I made through like the trail community who hiked in 18. So she was the first one to really like hear my idea, be a thru-hiker and also be a marketing website person. And she's like, oh yeah, this is going to work. You can do this. And I was like, okay, cool. You know, I needed that. And then I got Twerk, who's a pretty well-known photographer. He does the Hiker Trash Vogue, and then he's really doing some cool projects. And then he came and did a photo shoot for me for my website. And I kind of staged what I thought it might look like. So some of my friends in Tucson that I met on trail came and they were my models, and we sort of acted out the scenarios that I thought might happen. And then that all gave me a very clear picture of I'm definitely doing this. I'm going to try it. I think it's going to work. And then the pictures I had from Twerk was exactly how it looked all summer. So it was just very cool to have it all work out. And then it was needed, and I was able to help a lot of people. So it was cool.
And you do this out of your van?
Sort of. So I live out of the van, and then the van allows me to be in the right places. And then a lot of times it's just outside. So it'll be like, sometimes someone will like sit in my van for leverage, or if we're in a, you know, grocery store parking lot, that gives us kind of a way to tuck in. But a lot of times it's just like outside on like a bench or on the ground. It's also in hotel rooms quite a bit. There are times when it looks more like home health because, you know, hikers are coming into town and staying in various places. So I'll be frequent at the three hotels in town, just kind of rotating between going to see everyone in their different spots throughout the day. So it kind of, it looked a little different in every town.
Kind of that old fashioned type of doctor who does house calls, maybe trail calls.
Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes I would meet people right on the trail, but more often than not, when people were injured, they're coming to town because they know they need to take a break and they need resources. So I would meet them in town a lot. And then if they were on the trail and injured and they don't know how to even keep walking whilst like sitting on the side of the trail, if they were able to get a bar of service, then we would do a telehealth call. And that's kind of how I would help right on trail. And sometimes I would get messages from people's like Garmins. Send me a text and be like, please help. My knee hurts really bad. And so we would just text back and forth on their Garmin so we could figure out like, you know, don't press the SOS. I think you can try this and see. And then when you get to town, call me, like that kind of stuff.
I want to say that I just love hearing stories about people who could take their profession and their passion and fuse them together. And it sounds like that's exactly what you've done here.
Thanks. Yeah. Sometimes I get excited that this is just my reality, because it was just that. I really liked the van life. I really love being a physical therapist, and I love the trail community. And somehow I was able to put them all together. And then the biggest bonus is that I get to have my dog with me all the time. And that, that really makes me happy.
I always feel like when you're out on the trail, there is a sense of freedom. Anybody who's done, anybody's even spent a week in the woods, there's a sense of freedom. Do you feel that? I'm kind of hearing that freedom. You're in your van, you have your dog. You're just out there doing your job, conducting your business.
Yeah. I mean, it's really a privilege to do the things you want to do and on your time, because the hardest part about running a business is it's very feast or famine, right? Like I don't know from one day to the next if, you know, maybe the next 3 days, no one will call me. You know, you always have to think that way. And then, so when you get any calls, you take every single one of them because you're just like, what if this stops? And so I kind of had that all summer, but I think if I had to do that in a setting that wasn't this, it would have been a really fast-tracked burnout. But in this, it was more like exciting. And, you know, every day that it worked, I would like call my mom and be like, it's still working. And so it was, you know, spending time with hikers and treating them feels casual in a sense too, because then I made a lot of friendships too. So it wasn't just all work. It was very intertwined, which is a cool way to work and live.
We'll be back after a quick break.
You ever think about what might be in the water you're drinking every time you fill up your water bottles while you're in the outdoors? I try not to, and I really don't, because I use Sawyer water filters. Sawyer filter technology, because of their high standards, every filter is individually tested 3 times through the process. I've been using their permethrin product for years now to protect me from, well, quite frankly, ticks, and the picaridin to keep the flies at bay. Don't let bad water, insects, or a tick bite cut your trip short or even ruin it. Use Sawyer products. Go to your local outdoor retailer and ask for Sawyer products, whether it's a water filter, insect repellent, they're likely to have it. You can also go to Sawyer's website and read more about these incredible high-quality products that they offer those of us who enjoy the outdoors. Trail life is very sociable, as you referenced earlier, right? You could sit down and have lunch with somebody at a spring or cross paths with somebody refilling your water bottles, see them a week or 2 weeks later, and it's like you're friends. It's like, you know, you have this one thing in common, but it's very sociable. So for you, yeah, these people that you maybe interact with for an hour or two, however long these sessions are, they'll remember that their entire lives, as will you, I'm sure.
Yeah. And that ended up being the cool thing in following the bubble, because if I was just in one town, I still could have helped a lot of hikers. I still could have met a lot of people, but because I moved, I would see them again. And so it was like, you know, I might've helped them in Idyllwild, and then maybe I didn't run into them again until Tehachapi, you know, so several hundred miles later, and, you know, they're walking down the street and it's like, oh, hi, how are you? How's your leg? And it's like, it's totally better. And then, you know, we eat lunch or something, you know, so that's just not, that's not something that happens in our normal society. We have so many social barriers, and for what, I don't know, but through hiking, really, just it takes something out of the way to let you get connected to people.
And I think we all go through that. I write about it in my book. I wrote a book about my long trail hike, and it does. And as one guest had put it to me, it's the most democratic experience we might have, a small d democratic experience.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, when you were out there hiking, you didn't want to be a doctor. You were just a hiker. You were willing to help people with your knowledge, but we're all the same.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it whenever you look at who your friends end up being when you're done, because it's like, in what other world would society normalize it for me to be friends with an 18-year-old, a 75-year-old, 40, you know, from different countries, different backgrounds, you know, just everything. And then sometimes you don't even know until you're already really fairly good friends with them. And then you're like, oh, you're a bus driver.
Right. Exactly. Oh, cool. Right. When we go back into our lives, it's like we gravitate to the people that are in our age group, have similar interests to us. But when you're out there on the trail, you're right. You could be sharing the trail one night with a lawyer, a recent high school graduate or whatever, and not even know for days because you're all just out there with the same goal, just to put one foot in front of the other and try to get there safely. Blaze, what's the longest distance you had to travel in one day to help a hiker?
That kind of varies, because the way I'll do it is I'll pick a spot that I'm going to be, and then I'll stay there for a little while, and then I'll go within that spot. And so usually, because when they get into town and things like that, they're on foot. So they don't tend to scatter very far. So like if we're in Idlewild, the most I'm driving is a few minutes to different Airbnbs and hotels and stuff. But then whenever I move to say like Mount Laguna to Idlewild, I made that trip more than once because I would backtrack and then go forward and I would announce like, hey, I'm driving this route. And the way much of the trail parallels a road, which is really convenient. And so it would be like, I would be going from Idlewild to Mount Laguna, but on the way, I'm going to pass Warner Springs. I'm going to pass Paradise Valley Cafe. And so this would be like a few hours of driving, but I would make pit stops along the way. And almost always when I would do these big drives of like 1 to 3 hour, you know, jumping up or back, I would pit stop in those places almost every single place on the way. So sometimes in one day I would see people that were spanning 500 trail miles and it was 2 or 3 hours of driving and I saw them in each spot along the way. But that wasn't a daily occurrence because that would make me almost harder to catch if I was always in and out. So I would kind of go, they would know I'm there, they would anticipate it, get their ask for help, and then I would move after it felt like the bubble was kind of headed out from there.
Right. Yeah. Moving with the bubble gave you some latitude. Like I said, if you had to backtrack a little bit or move ahead, that's great. What was the most common injury, or what is the most common injury you see while you're out there?
Any form of tendonitis is that's probably the best category to give the most common. And then more specifically, it's the tendons around the foot and ankle. Those get the most problems. And then a little bit in the knee and a little bit in the hip, but tendonitis as like a whole injury, and then in the foot and ankle more specifically.
Hiking for days upon days over rocks and roots, yeah, it's going to put a beating on those.
Yeah.
Have there been situations where you've arrived, somebody's called for your help, and you're just like, okay, you need an ambulance. You need to go to a doctor. This is more than just physical therapy here.
Yeah. Never an ambulance, like never that emergent, but definitely elevated care. So I would see a few things that like one person had a little bit of tendonitis in his shin, but he also had an infected blister. And so the infection was really what was causing all of his issues. And so like when I saw him, we went over the tendon stuff and I said, you know, what you really need to do is go to the doctor today and get going on some antibiotics and stuff, because once this infection clears, that's going to take a few days. And by then, as mild as the tendon issue is, that's going to be gone. So really it was masking your injury by being a low grade infection. And so he went and got like a shot and something else. And then he was good in like 2 days, completely better. And so that's something that wasn't really PT related, but needed intervention still. And then I've had a few where, you know, I take a look and I'm like, you know, we can't determine a fracture 100% without an image, but all we have tests that we do to determine the likelihood. And sometimes people will just have like a check across the boards on the fractures thing. So it's like, well, if it's not a fracture, there's some stuff we might be able to do, but it's 90% sure this looks like a fracture. So you need to go get a scan, or we need to take that next step to get a better picture of what's going on. So that those infections and fractures probably happen the most. And then occasionally I would do a test and stuff and it would look like a tear of something. And then that would also be okay, we need to get you an MRI, you need to see an orthopedic surgeon. We need to go these next steps and see, you know, what the damage is on a better level.
Right. Yeah. So you're giving people I can bring you to a certain level, but your expertise can also save them from maybe a more tragic injury. You know, if you're able to spot a torn, you know, a soft tissue injury, for example, and they keep hiking, If they're going to like ibuprofen up and just keep moving on, that injury is going to get worse. And that could take them off the trail for good for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm pretty honest because there's definitely stuff you can work through and you're going to have some pain and we're going to go over how to manage it, how to reduce it, how to not make the injury worse, but continue hiking, like those kind of things. That's the majority of what I see and what we do. But if I see an injury that, you know, it looks like a torn meniscus or it looks like a fracture, I'm going to tell you, you know, because nobody wants to have their bad news sugarcoated. That doesn't help being straightforward and not, you got to kind of, that's hard because I feel for them. I mean, I understand the fear of a hike ending injury. And so it's like, but you have to, as a provider, really, it's not about you at all. So you have to be able to just tell them the bad news and let them have their feelings because there's no room for yours. So, you know, I'll tell them and then they can handle it and they know what to do and have the plan. And then later I just regret it for them so bad. I'm like, oh, their hike.
Yeah. I can imagine it's got to be a tough thing to do to say, hey, your hike might be over. you need an MRI. You might be done for the year.
Yeah. And there's that moment where, you know, before you've said it. And so you know, you're about to crush it. and that's
sit back, brace yourself, because I'm about to tell you that those words you did not want to hear.
Yeah. And thankfully, I mean, I didn't have to do that a lot, but I can remember every single time I did, because it is, I feel it for them that it sucks. But most people have, you know, through hiking is a big goal. It's a big dream. You absolutely want to do it, but it's not the only thing people do. So like one girl I met, she had a fracture in her navicular bone in her foot. So that's a bone that, you know, sometimes people will just walk through fractures. It's not really advised, but this bone in particular is one that doesn't heal well because it doesn't have a good blood supply. And she saw a doctor in Mammoth and he told her, well, you're just going to hike anyway. And we had some messages before she had gone to the doctor before we did an assessment because she thought something was off. And that was kind of where he left her. So she didn't really know what to do. So I was like, you know, let me call you, you know, no charge, but let me talk you through this. And I was like, this is a fracture that will cause you surgery if you keep hiking. Like that was kind of flagrant on his part to say something like that. You need to stop. And for her, she's like, well, thank you. Like, I'm a teacher. I do other things. I don't want this like chronic foot problem for the rest of my life. It's like, yeah, of course you do other things, you know, you're active in your normal life, not just on a through hike.
And you make a good point, Blaze, is that we have other things we do when our hike is over. Mm-hmm. Do we want to have an injury that when we go back to our jobs that we're saying, well, you know, I'm not going to be hiking next summer because, well, I pushed through on an injury.
Yeah.
And now I need surgery and my foot will never be the same.
Yeah. And a lot of people are like, you know, tell me straight up because I want to scuba dive. I want to ride my bike. Is this, if I walk an extra 300 miles, am I ruining all of that? And I'm like, yes.
It's the trail is always going to be there. That's what I've told people. You know, I've come across people when I'm on my hikes. There's been a couple of times, a few occasions, people contemplating getting off the trail. Sometimes it's more emotional than physical.
And definitely.
It's going to be there. Come back and finish next year. Or come back and finish in a couple of years. Trail's not going anywhere.
Yeah. I found that was another thing that I did more of than I expected was sometimes people just want permission to rest or permission to quit. And it's like, you know, because we're talking about an injury that's really not serious and they seem to really like they are kind of already looking at booking their plane ticket home. And you know that they know that this injury is not that serious. And so sometimes we get into a little more conversations that kind of goes past being a PT and more just being another through hiker and just talking about like, hey, this experience is here. What you've done is incredible, even coming out. And if you want to go and if you need this injury to be the reason, fine. But I think you should think about being okay with just being done and not blaming the injury. That's a big step, and it's impressive because it's hard to quit something when you've imposed these pressures of society, like your friends and family need you to finish this hike. They don't matter. You know, this is about you. And if you've gotten what you needed and it's 600 miles in, that's plenty. You don't have to go for another 4 months if that's not what you're into. You know, go do something else. You've got the time off. Go back to your life.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're spot on with that. My response would be, yeah, you've done 600 more miles than most people will ever do in their life, mm-hmm. as far as hiking or backpacking goes. And I just always feel like when you reach that point where it's just not fun anymore, mm-hmm. it might be time to take a break, and it's okay. And the truth is, the only people that are going to give a crap whether you finish or not is you. You're the only person who's really going to care. The people around you, the people that care about you, they're going to be happy that you had a good time out there.
Definitely. Yeah. My advice to people who are on the fence about quitting is always take a couple of days off and then picture yourself at home. What are you going to do when you're home? Are there people and activities and things that you just, it would just fill your cup. You just can't wait to be back to it. You know, you would have a good next few months. You would love to do this. Or do you envision yourself going home kind of like wishing you were back on trail? And I think it's, you can kind of play out those things before buying a plane ticket, you know, and then that can help you either stay or go and be comfortable with that decision. But if you're already feeling tortured, then at least doing yourself the justice of thinking it through while you're comfortable, thinking it through while you're getting rained on and your feet hurt is not the time to think it through.
Right. There's the old saying, don't quit on a bad day.
Right. Yeah. I think don't quit on trail is also like quit in town. Like,
right. Be somewhere comfortable where you can gather your thoughts, where you can make a rational decision. Okay. I'm very comfortable here. I just took a shower. I'm nice and clean. Do I want to go back out there for another 5 or 6 days before I can enjoy this again?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Blaze, this is where we get to how impressive it is what you're doing, because you're not just a physical therapist. When you're meeting these hikers, you're able to relate to them as a hiker. Tell us how you feel about that. You know, that idea that when you come across somebody, the ability to relate to them as a fellow hiker, how does that help you with what you're doing and them?
I think that's probably one of the biggest things that I'm thankful for in having been able to do a through hike, because if I look at my career as a PT before I had the life experience of a through hike, and then after, I would not have been able to serve this community as well pre-through hike, because I would have been just orthopedic minded. So I would have, you know, you can understand that they're doing a big physical task. You can understand all the joints and the injuries, but you know, having been on trail, had a foot pain and cried because I thought my hike was over, you know, things like that. It just gives you a layer of empathy for, you know, because sometimes people will come with an injury that really, I mean, you can assess it pretty quick to know that it's not a big deal, but they're really worked up over it. And I can get that. I can understand that energy and talk them off the ledge in a different way, because if I felt it, you know, when I was on trail 500 miles in, I got this real sharp foot pain, and everything I knew about feet went straight out the window. I forgot my whole education, and I thought, broken, hands down, gotta be broken. Trail's over, no other explanation. I walked for like 2 days before I could get to town, just crying, hurt with every step. And I went, this is it. I am done. And then I got into town and took a shower. I calmed down, and then I used my brain and I figured out I just had something called cuboid syndrome. So it's a pain that's really sharp, but is very fixable, because you just mobilize one bone, put some tape on it, and then it's almost completely better. So it went from trail ending and I felt that pain to, oh, it's actually not bad. So having had that experience is one of my, I feel like I was meant to have that, because I get where you feel that way when you're looking at being afraid if your trail is over. And so I take a lot of responsibility in whenever I'm having an assessment with somebody to assume that that's how they're feeling, and make sure that early in the assessment, I'm giving them reassurance that, you know, the first few things I'll tell somebody when we're in an assessment is, it's not broken. you can continue to hike and this isn't something that's going to give you permanent damage. Because those are the three things that are in the front, and they don't hear anything else you're saying until you have addressed those three things. So before I'm going to tell you what exercises, tape, shoes, whatever, you know, whatever we get into, I'm going to answer those three questions first. So that way you can take yourself out of this fight or flight mode, know that it's okay. And then we can move forward and get you better.
Now, you've brought up shoes a couple of times. I want to ask, have you come across hikers where you just assess their gear and, you know, you talked about the shoes, as I said, and maybe look and say, are they carrying too much weight, or there's a possibility that this part of their body's hurting because their pack isn't packed properly?
Yeah. So I don't get too deep into like pack shakedowns, because those can be, that can be a really easy way to make somebody defensive. So, you know, they've thought for months before they came out on trail what they were going to put in their bag. So unless someone comes up to me and says, can you help me make my pack lighter? I don't really talk about the weight of their pack because it's just a little too personal, a little too sensitive. But the weight where they're putting stuff in their pack is definitely related to some injuries. So some like shoulder and back stuff comes down to the way their pack is fitting. So we'll adjust like the straps a bit better, maybe change the way they're packing it. A lot of times people aren't using their load lifters correctly, and then that causes some back and shoulder stuff. And then sometimes their pack's too big. So we'll go over like that kind of that layer of pack fit and weight. And then footwear wise, I would say the gear store in Idyllwild has got to love me, because that's probably the number one place that people have to change shoes, because that's 150 to 170, depending where you come in, miles in. And a lot of times people have just the wrong shoe, like just 100% not the right shoe for them. And the shoe will be busted down on one side, having only hiked for 2 weeks, and, you know, just lots of foot pains and stuff. And we're still early enough in that changing the shoe to the right shoe at that point usually does the trick, and then they're good. And so that's probably the biggest. And further down trail, it's less brand and shoe changing, and more so, hey, you can't take your Ultra 700 miles. That's not advice.
Dude, it's time to get a new pair of shoes.
I'm like, Ultras could be fine for you. Keep the Ultras fine, but not this long.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. At some point they're going to wear out and you're going to need new ones.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've taken more than one pair of trail runners, and just as a side, I'm very pro trail runner. I think they're some of the best options, but also some people wear boots, so both are fine. But the trail runners, you know, when they break down and you take them way past their threshold, I mean, I can roll them up like a ball and like twist them like a Tootsie Roll. I mean, I'll just ball them up and be like, do you think that's helping your foot?
Yeah. You might as well be walking barefoot at this point.
Exactly. I'm like, these are bedroom slippers. You have 40 pounds on your pack walking over roots and rocks, and you are wearing bedroom slippers at the moment. So, and then that usually, you're right. I'll get some.
I could get that way. I use trail runners, but partnering with a comfortable pair of shoes is not easy to do.
Well, they're expensive, you know, they're 150 times, but I always give people the number breakdown of, you know, okay, shoes are $150. I get it. That's a punch every time you got to buy shoes. But a hotel room these days is anywhere from $75 to $150, depending on how many people you're going to cram in there. But if you're injured and you're going to need a couple days in a hotel room and you're injured because of your old shoes, chances are your trail fam's going to leave you and you're going to be stuck with that hotel bill yourself. So what you saved in shoes to get 300 extra miles out of them, you absolutely are going to lose in resources related to, you know, expedited shipping of your new shoes or the hotel costs or, you know, having to see a provider. You know, all of these things are going to far, far cost you more than just replacing your shoes at regular intervals.
I've read and talked to a lot of through hikers who they budget that in. One person recently I talked to, they budgeted in at every 500 miles they would be replacing their shoes.
Yep. Yeah. And I recommend, so if you're starting to have foot pain and your shoes are past 300 miles, you should change your shoes. That should be one of your first lines of defense, especially if it's the foot and ankle that's hurting. If your foot's not hurting and you're getting to 400 or 500 miles, you should be changing anyway, like between the 400 and 500 mile mark. But the only time you would have to do the 300 is just if you're starting to have pain or the shoe is clearly, some shoes just don't last. Even if it's the same brand, the same model, sometimes between the terrain, just the circumstances, sometimes you just won't get what you expect out of shoes. And so you have to just be able to look at them objectively and be like, wow, my shoes look terrible, and just replace them.
Yeah, they do more than cover our feet. Foot problems could, and you know this much better than I do, can have a rippling effect on our body.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I always tell people when we're working through an injury that I'm not worried about this injury. I'm worried about your second injury. So when it comes to the question of, well, okay, when can I get back on trail? My answer a lot of times is when you're not limping, because if you're limping, that pain you're going to cause from that weird gait with a backpack on is going to probably be worse than this injury, and we might not be able to help that one. So that's kind of when you're trying to decide, is it worth one day sooner and I'm still limping, or should I rest one more day? It's always rest one more day, and so you're not limping, because, you know, if you limp hard enough, you could fracture something in your hip. I mean, you could get definitely more serious injuries, so it's just not worth it.
Right. And that's what's going through my mind. That ankle pain that you're kind of, you know, limping along on a week later could turn into a hip issue, mm-hmm. or back problems.
Yeah. Back.
Blaze, is there any advice you could give for people pre-trail or pre-hike or while they're on the trail to help keep themselves avoiding injuries?
For sure. So training is definitely one of the top things you can do to avoid injury. There are a lot of people that say, oh, well, just start slow, you'll get in shape on trail. That might work on some different trails, like the AT, where you can stop after 6 miles and there's going to be water everywhere and towns more often. But you cannot come out on the PCT without some baseline layer of fitness, because the water sources are too far apart, the towns are too far apart. You know, the terrain is a little more forgiving than like the East Coast, but that time walking with the pack on is still going to be stress on your tendons. And that's where people are getting the tendonitis. If they didn't, the early tendonitis is usually not enough training leading into trail, because they thought they could do 6 to 8 miles. And then that's just not the reality. So you have to build yourself up a bit, so your threshold is much higher. And I recommend, you know, practice hikes. Cardio is obviously very good, and resistance training. Resistance training is one of the number one ways to keep your tendons healthy.
Blaze, I don't want to break the hearts of any 2023 through hikers, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Any plans for you to be out there hiking anytime soon?
Well, I'm going to be back on trail in 2023 with Blaze Physio, so I'll do the same exact thing on the PCT this coming season. So I want to do another through hike at some point, but it's still a little further off. I want to keep seeing this practice through. So right now you can expect me on the PCT for the foreseeable future.
All right. Well, I'm going to be following you. I've hiked half of the AT, and I always toy around with wanting to do maybe one long, you know, a long through hike, to finish it up, a long section hike, I should say. But I'm going to make sure I'm out there when you are. I've got bad knees. I might just, you know, I'm not stalking you. I'm just, you know, it's just in case my knees get really sore.
That's funny. I had a few hikers on the PCT this year that have plans of different trails, and they're like, well, what if you came to the CDT next year?
Yeah, I've got a great trail for you to hike, and you should go out and do it in June or July.
I do have plans to expand to some other trails in some different ways. Like I want to, like the Arizona trail is long enough that people could see some issues. And I have a license in Arizona, and the season of it kind of envelopes the PCT. So I think I could sort of bring on the AZT on both sides of the PCT. And then I would like to to get some more help yourself options for other trails, because you have to have a license in states that you're going to do direct contact care for. So like if somebody was in, you know, the Maryland section of the AT and called me, I could help them. But if they were in New York, I couldn't, because I don't have a license there. But because the injuries are so similar, I'm working on making some just like eBooks and like a, you know, how like diagnosis trees and things that can let help hikers sort of help themselves and figure out how to manage an injury if I can't talk directly to them. And then that hopefully will help more people in the community, because the interventions are very specific. Like I wouldn't buy like a plantar fasciitis protocol that's just general plantar fasciitis, because it's not going to apply to a through hiking scenario. So that's what I want to, that's a need I see that I want to make.
Right. And it's that experience again, as a through hiker, being able to relate to what caused this injury, which in your profession has to be, you know, priceless, right? When you can assess somebody and as a through hiker, okay, I know what caused this to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, I mean, I learned a lot, even just being out on trail this year. I learned from my through hike, but then treating, you know, hundreds of through hikers, I got to really see what works, what doesn't work, what they have access to. Because when I hiked, I just had my injury and a couple other injuries, and then just the insight to the task. And now I have insight to all the injuries that people are getting. And so I feel a responsibility to put this information out there on a bigger scale. I just have to, it has to get from my brain to the paper, which feels a little like homework, but I'm going to do it.
Well, we'll be looking forward to that, because I definitely feel this is valuable information that all of us could use, whether we're hikers of any of the big trails, any of the big three, or in my case, just a 2 to 3 week a year hiker. These things are just so important. And, you know, as we've heard all the time, we've heard a lot of aspiring hikers say their biggest fear is getting hurt and having to end their hike early. So yeah, with your information, hopefully you can help them not only avoid these injuries, but be prepared, you know, what they can do on trail. You know, like I said, maybe it means staying off the trail an extra day, but it also can, the end result could be you're going to finish your hike.
Yeah, definitely.
Dr. Blaze, how can we find you?
So I'm the most active on Instagram as Blaze Physio. That's where I have just the most community, because I follow hikers and we have a lot of back and forth. And I also have a Facebook page that's Blaze Physio, and my website is just blazephysio.com.
I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing this valuable information with us. We will definitely put links to your website and your information in the description for the podcast. I feel so strongly about what you're doing. I think it's great. It's a great service. And sharing this information is very generous of you to come on and do today. Best of luck to you in the future. Everybody, get outside, have some fun, and take the doctor's advice here. Be safe out there. Thanks for listening. If you haven't done so yet, go to our website, papabearhikes.com. Listen to past episodes. Check us out on social media. Go to our YouTube channel, Martin Outside. All those links are there. In addition to that, you can buy our book or see what you're missing out on if you're not a Patreon member yet. Remember to get outside, have fun, and be safe. This episode of Papa Bear Hikes has been brought to you by Avalon Publicity. Avalon Publicity, increasing the digital footprint of content creators and skilled professionals via website development and social media services. For more information about Avalon Publicity, go to their website, avalonbusiness.org. That's avalonbusiness.org.